Good morning. It's great to see everyone this morning, and especially those of you who are visiting. We welcome you to our services here at Watermill, and we hope that you leave here edified and inspired by our worship services today. Thankful to be speaking before you this morning, and I wish it were under different circumstances. I know we are all praying for Bill McFarland and for his mother and that family, and I hope that you will be continuing in your prayers for that family in days to come. I appreciate the elders giving me the next 2 hours to speak with you this morning. Mike Ushery put me up to that, but again, I'm thankful to be able to bring the message this morning. Yesterday was an exciting day for those of us at Fairhaven. We were invited to a fishing outing and a swimming outing at Table Rock Lake. And Nolan, who lives in my house, caught his first fish. And the fish has gotten bigger today. You know, he had good instruction. And, you know, Barney Crawford was there. And, you know, being the master fisherman that Barney is, I looked over one time, and Barney, it looked like he had one of those big bass on the line, like he really likes to catch. And it seems that Barney was trying to teach Gracie, his granddaughter, how to cast, and he caught a great big bush. So, anyway, but I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and I'll be reading beginning in verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." The personal ministry of Jesus was in full swing. Jesus was traveling throughout Palestine, and he was teaching and preaching, and he was healing every kind of disease and sickness, and he was lifting up. The crowds continued to get larger. And from all accounts, it appears that he was facing a large crowd at this time. In verse 36, it says, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. What does it mean that they were distressed? It means that this group was anxious. They were a sorrowful bunch. Probably physically hurting, they were impoverished. They were dispirited, meaning they had lost all enthusiasm. They had lost hope. They were disheartened. And this was a tragic scene because Jesus realized that not only were their physical lives in danger, but their spiritual souls were in danger. And he was moved with compassion for them. Compassion comes from a Latin word, compati, which means with passion or to suffer with. A close synonym is the word sympathy, which means with feeling or with pathos. But I believe there's a real difference between true compassion and sympathy. You know, oftentimes when someone we know experiences a tragedy or a death, in the family, we send a sympathy card expressing our sorrow. But I believe compassion causes us to react in more practical ways. Compassion means someone else's heartbreak becomes our heartbreak. That someone else's suffering becomes our suffering. The original Greek word literally means to have the bowels of yearning. So it's something, compassion is something that moves us from the inside. You know, some people would say we live in a compassionless world today. I'm reminded of the quote by the legendary football coach Lou Holtz, who once said, "Be careful who you share your problems with, because 80% of the people don't care, and the other 20% are glad that you have them." Now, I don't know if it's that bad, but I will admit that we live in a society that is self-absorbed. We live in a competitive society where we are taught to be number one. For years, we've lived in a pluralistic society of consumerism that tells us, or tries to tell us, that we can spend our way to happiness. It would appear to me that oftentimes we're more passionate about those things that are important to us than rather trying to be compassionate toward others. And Jesus is saying that we need to have passion for really important things. We need to have passion for souls. We need to have passion for the gospel. We need to have a passion that cries out against the evils of this world. We need to have a passion for the oppressed. And we need to have a passion for those who cannot stand up for themselves or who often do not have a voice, which unfortunately many times is our children, both the born and the unborn. As disciples of Christ, we are called to be compassionate people. Who better to look to as an example of true compassion than Jesus? If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 11. Soon afterwards, he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now, as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and he touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Can you imagine that scene? Here is this mother who has lost her only son. She's a widow, and we know that widows in that culture were, it was dire for widows. She had no one now. And Jesus was moved with compassion. And he didn't just feel sorry for this lady. He did something. He sprung into action and gave her son back to her. You know, the Bible only records Jesus weeping, I think, two or three times. But I believe that Jesus wept many times. I believe Jesus was a compassionate person. Jesus was a man of compassion, and his compassion was complete. Jesus showed compassion when people needed spiritual guidance. He showed compassion toward two blind men over in Matthew chapter 20. He showed compassion when people had terrible diseases such as leprosy. He showed compassion when people were hungry. And you know, it tells me that if Jesus can have compassion in these situations, he also has compassion for you and I. You remember the old Southwest Airline commercial, "Want to get away for a while"? It would usually show someone in an embarrassing situation, and then he would say, "Want to get away for a while?" When I was teaching school, there were times when I needed to get away for a while. I know preachers sometimes need to get away for a while. And unfortunately, Bill's not on an R&R trip this morning. But I think we all sometimes need to get away for a while. I remember years ago when I was teaching school, I just finished summer school. Our anniversary was coming up, first week in July. And we had a small window of opportunity there to get away. And we didn't have a lot of money, and so I said to Karen, I said, well, let's go to Eureka Springs. That's not very far from home. We were living in Cassville at the time. Go down, spend a couple of days, and just relax. And so it was during the week. It was about 100 degrees. We check into our motel in Eureka Springs, and Karen says, let's go down and check out the pool. So we go down to check out the pool, and there's one kid in the pool. And he's got a snorkel mask on, and he comes up out of the water and shakes his head, and he takes that mask off, and he says, hi, Coach Grimm. Did Jesus ever face situations like that? Yes, he did. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate, and it's already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? And he said to them, look, how many loaves do you have? Go, look. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Now, I'm not going to go through the rest of the story, but we know that Jesus miraculously fed that crowd that day. That Jesus, when he seen this crowd, already had gathered in this secluded place where he was looking to get away for a while. Jesus didn't respond like Coach Grimm did 15 years ago and say, oh brother, can I ever get away? No, Jesus felt compassion. He taught. He healed. He fed. He didn't react like most of us would today. In teaching us how we should feel toward our neighbor, in Luke chapter 10, we read a story about a man who was on his way from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked and he was robbed, and he was left half dead, laying beside the road. A priest comes by and decides to walk on the other side and keep going. A Levite, likewise, passed by and kept going. But in verse 33 of Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where the sick and beaten man was, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. In one of the Bible's most moving stories from Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son, Jesus describes a very moving scene. As the story goes, a young man had gone to his father and asked for his inheritance. He took his inheritance, he went to a foreign country, he squandered it on wild living, and then a famine struck that country, and he was left poor and with nothing to eat. He even envied the food that the hogs that he was feeding were eating on. And he wondered to himself, would my father take me back as just one of his servants because they have it better than what I have right now? Verse 20 of Luke chapter 15 says, but while he was yet far off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Folks, this is a reflection of our Father God. Jewish men in that culture did not run in public. They didn't climb trees either. Our Father is pursuing us. He's a compassionate Father. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Him, I want you to know that He loves you and that He's pursuing you. And if you strayed off the path, He wants to see you come back. He's looking for you. You know, having compassion is eternally important. Jesus put it pretty strongly in Matthew chapter 25 when He describes the judgment or the separation of the sheep and the goats. And understand that I'm paraphrasing here. But toward the end of Matthew chapter 25, He says, if you do not care enough to feed the hungry, if you do not care enough to quench thirst, if you do not care enough to take care of strangers, to clothe the naked, to minister to the sick, to help the down and out, then there is no hope for you. Having compassion is vitally important because it involves having the right heart. And if you have the right heart, everything else should fall into place. You know, Jesus took compassion to a different level. Jesus was moved to compassion by the ugly. Jesus was moved to compassion by the needy, by the sorrowful, and the sinful. And to display Christ-like compassion is to be moved not only by the physical needs that we see, but also by the most important spiritual needs. 1 Peter 3 and 8 says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. So how can we be more compassionate? Like patience or godliness or any other Christian quality, compassion is something that has to be developed. You know, we often talk about falling in love, but we don't really fall in love. Love is something that has to be developed. And likewise, we don't fall into compassion either. It has to be developed. So the basic answer to that question of how can we become more compassionate, I believe, is this. By totally giving our lives to Christ, and by being totally consumed by His Spirit. You see, Jesus had two qualities that I think were especially important. The ability to forget about self and the ability to put others before Himself and to put Himself in the other man's place. As we open our hearts and get out of our lives and get involved in the needs of others, our compassion will grow. And true compassion will change the way that we live. Three important lessons that I believe we can apply this morning that I believe will bring more compassion into our lives. Number one, remember that everyone has a story. We're often quick to judge and criticize, and we do it sometimes without considering what that person or that group of persons might be going through at the time. You know, almost everyone you meet has had difficulties. or might be going through some inner struggles at the time. And when we realize this, it allows us to look at others with a whole different perspective, which allows us to treat them more in a compassionate manner. I know one time I remember someone saying, the next time you deal with that smart aleck teenager at school, remember, that's somebody's baby. Consider what that child might be going through at home. And when you look at it that way, I believe it helps us to be more compassionate. Secondly, we need to remember that no one is perfect and that we all have flaws. People want to be loved and accepted. If we expect people to behave perfectly, inevitably we're going to be let down. Don't be so harsh when others make mistakes. We learn from our mistakes. And thirdly, remember that everyone is created in God's image. Wouldn't it be great if we treated everyone as if they were made in God's image? Because they are. And by demonstrating compassion toward others, we can create a better world for all of humanity. I'm reminded of a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian who died in a prisoner of war camp near the end of World War II, who said this. He said, "We must learn to regard people less in the light of what they do or omit to do, and more in the light of what they suffer." The Bible is saturated with compassion. It seeps out of the pages of the Old Testament. It pours out of the Gospels. The Bible talks of a God who was compassionate toward Israel. And it tells of a Savior who suffers for the world. And it asks us to live and act compassionately. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of representing Fairhaven Children's Home at the Abundant Living Retreat in Branson, Missouri. For those of you not familiar with the Abundant Living Retreat, it is a retreat for seniors, and I'm talking about people 60 and older. It's sponsored by Harding University. It's held every year in October at the Radisson Hotel in Branson for 3 or 4 days. One of the speakers a couple of years ago was a man named John W. Smith, who is an author and a minister. I believe he's located now out in Arizona. But I had the pleasure of hearing him speak on the last evening of that event. And he told a story. He said, "I was out in California at a lectureship or at a gospel meeting. I don't really remember, but he said, I'd been there for a week. It was Friday night. And I was scheduled to fly out on one of the last planes leaving L.A. for Dallas-Fort Worth on a Friday night. The flight had been delayed because there had been storms over Texas, and he said it was hours before we were actually able to board the plane. He said, we get on the plane, and, you know, the aisle is crowded, people putting things up in the overhead, and he said, wouldn't you know it, there's a baby, and it's screaming its head off. And he said, I was really looking forward to finding my seat, relaxing, getting some shut-eye on the way home, and here's this screaming baby. He said, I kept looking for my seat, and lo and behold, guess where my seat was? Right next to this young mother with the screaming baby. So he said, I sat down and I watched this mother desperately try to console the child. He said, nothing that she seemed to do worked. The crying intensified. And so finally, Brother John looks over to this young mother and he says, can I hold your baby? And she said, yes. He said, I put the baby up on my shoulder, and he said, as much as I could, I started rocking. And I started to sing hymns. He said, I sang Precious Memories, and the young mother had tears rolling down her cheeks. She said, my grandmother used to sing that song to me. He said, pretty soon, the baby started to quieten down. In fact, the baby went to sleep on my shoulder. I looked over and the young mother was asleep on my other shoulder. We landed in Dallas. He said, we got off the plane. She's standing out in the terminal and I asked her, where do you go from here? She said, well, I'm going to get a taxi. My in-laws were going to pick me up, but being that the flight was delayed, I told them to go ahead and sleep and that I would get a taxi and just let myself in. And so he escorted her down to the terminal where the taxis were, and he reached into his wallet and he paid the fee. He gave this young lady one of his cards and they departed. He said, I got back to my car, started it up and headed home, and he said, it dawned on me. He said, for just a brief amount of time this evening, God allowed me to wear Jesus' shoes, to take an uncomfortable situation and turn it into compassion. Folks, he's giving you and I those same opportunities every day to get out of our comfort zone and to show compassion for others. How compassionate is our God? You see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, 6 through 8. If you're here this morning, I want you to know God loves you. We serve a compassionate Father. And He's looking down that road and He's looking for you to come home today. Why not surrender your life to Him today and live for Him? Whatever be your need, please come as together we stand and sing.